Now, Nevada Real Estate Radio. You'll never go wrong when you get your advice from real estate professionals that you know, like, and trust. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to our radio show. Peter here on Nevada Real Estate Radio. Glad you tuned in to our program today. It is springtime, and that means there's more sunshine out and about, especially after the first day of spring. Now that we're into April, more and more people are talking about the sun. Today, we're talking about solar energy. We'll be talking with Chris O'Sullivan. He's with Palmetto Solar, and he is a clean energy consultant. Talking with us, too, today, Sean McDonald. Sean is a hard money lender at Socotra Capital. We have ways to close deals real fast in the investor real estate areas, and one of them is hard money. We'll learn about how that works, and we'll look at the stats from the Sierra Nevada Realtors and more after this.
Time and time again, people come to Sage International Incorporated because they experience confusion about the entity or entities they have formed either on their own or through another service provider. If you do not understand how to obtain solid liability protection, effective tax reduction, or have never given any thought to the importance of exit or estate planning issues, then the Sage Facilitator Program was designed specifically for you. To learn more, call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill today. The Sage clients enrolled in the Sage Facilitator Program have discovered that this proprietary process creates tremendous peace of mind for themselves and their families. It's time for you to stop worrying by calling 775-786-5515 to learn more so we can help you today. Call Sage International.
The most productive hour of your week. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
You're tuned into 93.7 FM, and this is Peter on Nevada Real Estate Radio. Hey, if you want to help some young kids accomplish their goals of being great students and maybe being future homeowners, future investors, well, a good way to do that is by supporting Empower Youth Foundation. They change the lives through the science of learning of young children from underprivileged homes and backgrounds. A lot of these kids have fallen behind two or three grades. They get to junior high. Guess what? They can't even read, some of them. They're behind one or two classes, grade classes, from their co-students. But guess what? They keep moving them up. Well, Empower Youth Foundation help these kids get caught up and get current, sometimes even excelling where their current peers are in their classrooms. So if you want to help them get caught up, turn them into great kids, great students, great adults, visit empoweryouthfoundation.org. With me in the studio today, I have Sean McDonald. Sean has been with our program previously. It's been a while that we've talked about hard money, but today is the day. Sean McDonald from Socotra Capital, welcome. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be here and talk hard money.
Hard money is something that really makes money move, from what I remember. Sean, sometimes a deal gets to the point where it needs to turn fast, but the banks move slow, the mail moves slow, sometimes things get hung up on the internet papers. That's where you guys come in. Speed is really one of your big qualities. Talk about that factor.
Yeah, speed's definitely in our top three. It may be our number one. We can close residential. I closed a residential transaction last year in 2 days from the time the broker called me. He called me late on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and we closed that Friday.
Wow.
So it's definitely something that we can do. We're seeing a lot now with the capital markets tightening up and lenders leaving borrowers at the altar. We're able to come in and pick up the pieces, use their appraisal, use their prelim, and close as quick as possible.
That's really amazing. 2 days. Now, I know that a lot of things have to happen before those 2 days take place, but when it comes to hard money, some of the regulations that you have in a typical transaction, a more typical mortgage from a bank or a big lending institution, Sean, I know they're not there, those factors. Talk about some of those things that you don't have.
So the big regulations are on the consumer loans, which we don't touch. We don't do any consumer loans. So all we do are investment purpose or business purpose loans.
Mm-hmm.
We will do a cash out refinance of a owner-occupied residence for a business purpose. But because all of our loans are business purpose loans, we don't have to deal with a lot of the long noticing periods and that sort of stuff.
Yes, and many of the people that we talk to and that tune into our show, they're real estate investors. And I would imagine that's kind of a sweet spot for the hard money business.
Absolutely, yeah. Investors are all we lend to, basically.
So when we're talking about investors, a lot of our listeners, they buy a primary residence and then they upgrade, maybe leave the old residence now as a rental property, and they start acquiring some rental properties. I know that's one way that you can help people, but what about those folks that have gone on and made some investments in the commercial world? You know, maybe they have a strip mall or, let's say, big multifamily apartment buildings. It works there too, I would imagine.
Absolutely. The only thing we won't lend on in commercial right now is office. That's kind of a four-letter word post-COVID. We're not lending on office because everybody wants to work from home. but yeah, we'll lend on all that stuff and quickly as well. We close fast on commercial as well as residential.
And the interesting factor now, you're talking about office not being a hot area because everybody's working from home. At what point can somebody turn their home into more than a home? It's more of a business than a home. And maybe now you could lend hard money on a house, right? It's only when you buy it, right, as an investment property?
Correct, yeah. You can't say, hey, I use my office for my business. It's a commercial property. It's still zoned residential. We got to treat it as residential. And if you live there, it's consumer.
I ask those questions because I have a lot of friends, and they ask those kind of questions. And, yeah. You know, they're always trying to strike a deal in an odd way, but there are a lot of compliance issues and regulations when it comes to hard money. The licensing factor, for instance, it's about the same, is it not, as it is for a primary residence lender?
Yeah, identical, I believe. To get the license, we had to jump through all the same hoops that the guys at Bank of America or anybody else had to jump through.
Mm-hmm.
We are regulated by the mortgage lending division, the same people that regulate all of us. So
wow.
It's Nevada is arguably the toughest state to get licensed in as well. So mm-hmm. It's nice for me because there aren't a lot of hard money lenders venture into Nevada, especially from California. They stay away.
I've mentioned before, I was a mortgage lender in my previous life, and I did that for over 10 years. And, Sean, I do remember the challenges of the lending industry, what with all of the compliance issues and regulations that were coming into place. When it came to the point of getting licensing, that was an amazing thing. You know, it was probably one of the most difficult licenses that I've ever had to attain. Not so much because of the questions and the testing, but it was the process. You know, they had us fingerprinted before we went into the licensing room, and then they went into another locked room for testing, and there were more fingerprints there. And then on the way out, when you handed your paper in, you fingerprint again. And then on the way out the last door, a fingerprint again. I don't know why they love my fingerprints so much. I'm sure that they have eye scans now, take a drop of blood, a little bit of hair. I mean, who knows? It is still one of the toughest things to get into is mortgage because of all of that compliance. And it was expensive. If I recall, there was a couple of $100 involved with each process.
I don't know. Luckily, I don't foot that bill. So,
well, I was a mortgage lender, primary residence. We had to fit our own bill, so I know it's a high deal. But the good news for the consumer, the good news for the investor, is that compliance keeps things in check, right? There are standards that you have to follow through. And Socotra is not new to the hard money lending industry. How long have you been at this yourself?
So I've been at it since 2013. We've been lenders since 2007. They started in California, and then we got licensed in Nevada in 2014. So, and from about the time I started with Socotra in 2013 to the time we got licensed in middle of 2014, we were working on getting that license.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the heavy lifting has to be done is up at the front. That's you know, good 10 years. 70 years in dog years, that's more like it for a mortgage, because I know it's a lot harder than it looks doing those deals, because it takes a lot of communications with people, and you have to talk to a lot of people to pull one deal together. I know, Sean, out and about in the community, talking with other investors, other lenders, maybe that don't do hard money but are still in the lending business, a good way to keep in communication with your prospects, is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of calling. I'm sure people that are hearing this have heard me leave them voicemails after voicemails over the years, and we do a lot of outreach. And then, yeah, how we met, you know, through real estate clubs and just you got to get out there and have a presence known.
When somebody is talking about hard money for the first time, it's probably because they've never done a business transaction. They've maybe done some primary residence transactions. And some of the main differences that I recall, Sean, that we talked to was the amount of skin in the game that you have to have when you're talking about investment property, be it multifamily or commercial of any other kind. So when somebody is buying a primary residence for the first time, I know that there are people can get certain kinds of financing arrangements, certain kinds of mortgages, where you have even zero money down for some mortgages. Others require only 2 or 3%. Then you have the step up where people are putting maybe 5 or the standard of 20% down to try to close a deal. The hard money that we're talking about for investment properties, it runs different, I know, because even on investment properties, typically the minimum investment starts at 10%. And then maybe it goes to 15 and 20%. When we're talking about a hard money transaction where somebody's trying to close this deal without the use of the bank, what are those loan-to-value ratios look like?
Yeah, so right now we're capping out about 60% loan-to-value, so 40% down.
Mm-hmm.
Although I should say we will play well with others. So we'll lend up to 60%, and maybe the borrower doesn't have to come in with that 40% cash. Maybe they could have a seller carry in second behind us, and we don't source the funds, so they could have a friend or family or silent partner bring in the cash. It's a little less onerous there, but we call it protective equity. So
sure.
We want our protective equity to be at least 40%.
Well, yeah, it's a different type of loan, but quite frankly, only needing 40% equity and then having those options of additional funds from other sources in there, you're way ahead of what an institutional lender would require of a primary residence buyer. In those cases, I know that all of the funds have to be sourced. They have to look at bank statements for the last 3 months. Any gifts have to be from a family member, and they have to be sourced as well. I mean, there's just a lot of paperwork and a lot of trail. So I can see why a hard money loan could turn faster, because I'm hearing this more and more, Sean. People are doing deals of all kinds more in cash than ever before because they're moving money from one area to another. So a lot of people, when they make these moves, when they sell a property and they're buying the next one, they have a pretty good amount of skin. If they have all the money, they can buy a deal as cash, but if they're looking to buy an investment or put it into an investment real estate transaction, then they know that they can get it in there with maybe 60% equity. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, the guy who's got the 100% cash down, those are my favorite because they can call me and instead of buying one property, they can buy two.
There you go. They don't need the cash, but they'd like to have two properties instead of one.
Our favorite borrower is the one who doesn't really need it.
Sean McDonald from Sequoia Capital is our guest. Sean, if anybody wants to reach you, what is the best way?
My direct line is 775-420-4990. You can look us up at SocotraCapital.com, and my email is smcdonald@SocotraCapital.com.
I've seen your work before, Sean, and I think a great slogan for you would be, Sean McDonald makes hard money easy.
There you go.
We'll be back on our radio show with Chris O'Sullivan. We're going to be talking about residential and commercial solar energy projects after this message.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
Natakwa. Natakwa News. Fun for all ages.
Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today.
Natakwa. 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 I had a great time watching basketball this past month. March Madness was outstanding. I liked watching the women's basketball games, the men's basketball games, and I know a lot of people watch those games from the comfort of their local bar or restaurant. A lot of bars and restaurants do big business around March Madness, and that's why they want to make sure their plumbing is always in great shape. They work with Rapid Rooter, commercial plumbing, drain, and sewer company. They do it all. Getting the job right the first time is the key when it comes to plumbing situations. Casinos, property managers, charter schools, hospitals, restaurants, you name it, they call the best and flush the rest. Rapid Rooter. Give them a call, 775-322-4124, or visit rapidrooternv.com. With me in the studio, I have Sean McDonald from Socotra Capital. We've been talking about hard money lending for real estate investors and pulling the trigger fast. If you find the right deal, but you just can't get all that money rounded up from your local bank. We've also got in the studio today Chris O'Sullivan. He is with Palmetto Solar Energy, and he's going to be talking about energy for your home or your business. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. Yes, when the sun comes out and we're spending more time outdoors, we're all thinking about solar and solar energy. Chris, is it still in the high demand in general for the residential and commercial businesses in Nevada as it was a year or two ago?
Yes, I would say definitely solar is in high demand. Now, we're not in the same rate increase climate that we were a couple of years ago when rates were in the process of doubling from NV Energy, but still we're looking at significant investment by NV Energy going forward, and so they will be raising rates again shortly.
That's something we can count on, isn't it, that rates are going to continue to go up for energy?
Well, it's interesting because there have been a couple of rate decreases, actually, a couple of percent here and there. But also on the books with the PUC is a program called Nevada Green Link, which is the upgrade of all the transmission lines for all the green energy. You recall that now we're under a constitutional mandate to get half of the grid to renewables by 2030, and that mandate is still in place. So all of the transmission lines need to be upgraded. Now, NV Energy originally had called for $2.5 billion with a B, and before they even started, they're now $450 million over budget. So that's going to be closer to $3 billion. They're also looking at repurposing the Valmy power plant and building a solar plant. Those two projects together are going to be another $1.5 billion. So we're looking at $4 billion in investment by NV Energy that's going to be passed on to ratepayers.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It is a ton of money. And, you know, even with all of the talk about the upgrades and the power lines and everything that they've got to do, a lot of us have been thinking for years and years about being more self-reliant and being able to take care of our own situations without being so dependent on one energy system or two energy systems. I mean, there's not that much choice. I bet more and more people are talking about that when they look at the global situation especially.
Yeah, I agree. And when you talk about Nevada, you talk about people who think about being independent.
Right.
Solar is certainly a way to do that. You know, an individual can make a small investment in their home and have their electricity paid for the next 25 or 30 years is the expectancy, mm-hmm. life expectancy of a solar system. And then there are other programs available where a homeowner can make no investment up front and can simply switch their electric bill from NV Energy to a solar provider, essentially just switching their utility, but in return for going solar, they get a fixed predictable bill for the next 25 years, so no more rate increases if you're using solar rather than fossil fuels.
So when someone is looking at converting, let's start at the residential side, mm-hmm. and converting to solar, I would imagine that there are certain different levels of conversion that you can look at for your home. What would you say is the entry level type of a solar situation for your home?
Yeah, we always look at first, we look at net zero from the utility. So we look at 100% offset of your utility bill. So we'll take a look at your utility bill. will look at the volume of electricity that you're using over the past 12, 18 months, and then we'll attempt to replicate that with solar panels. Now, we have a really nice advantage here in Nevada where we get tons of sun. Everybody loves, you know, that we have over 300 days of sun in Nevada. And what that converts to in the solar world is that we can build smaller systems, which cost less money, to return a greater amount of electricity than some of the other markets in the area that have higher cloud cover, things of that nature. So we always look at 100% dependence on solar rather than the utility.
So just going in then, you know, if you get a solar system in your home, you're going to stop needing to pay that amount to the utilities. At least that is the goal of your system, to provide that. And how likely and how often does that really happen? Is that really the result after a typical setup?
I would say that in 70% of the cases, we can replace your utility bill with solar. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some caveats in there. NB Energy is always going to charge a basic service fee just for the privilege of having a meter on the side of your house. Right. And you're always connected to the grid. Mm-hmm. We use the grid for solar systems every day. Whenever the sun's not shining, if you don't have storage, then you're going to need electricity from NB Energy. But what we do is something called net metering, which is found in most states. Most utilities allow some form of net metering. And that allows us to produce extra electricity during the day, especially in the longer days in the summer. And we can produce that excess electricity, and NB Energy will purchase that for a credit and put a credit on your bill. So that when you need electricity, whenever the sun's not shining, like at night, or on cloudy days, or when the solar panels are covered in snow, you'll simply use the grid from NB Energy, which is reliable, and you will use your credits to pay for that electricity, so the net effect will be zero on your bill. That's our goal. We can't always hit it, depending on the orientation of the roof and how much shade is around the house and whatnot, but our goal is always to do 100% offset from the utility.
Wow, that's great. It's great to think about not having that utility bill, because it's gone up dramatically, and a lot of people are concerned about that for today and for the future. You know, if I just multiplied my monthly utility bill times 12, it would be in the thousands, you know, close to $5,000 a year. And, you know, in 10 years, $50,000, would that buy a pretty good solar system?
Yes. Right now we're seeing, based on the rates currently, and that is making a huge assumption that rates will not increase going forward. You know, whenever people look at this break-even point, they assume that rates are never going to increase with NB Energy. But we, of course, know that they are, at least at some rate of inflation. But just at first glance, a break-even for a solar system today would probably be about 8.5 to 9 years. Now, if you add a standard rate of inflation in there, you may be completely paid off and ahead of the game in under 6 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the thing about the solar system on your home, right away your home is much more efficient. It's more reliable. I know that. Mm-hmm. However, we know in our real estate world that people move on average about 4 to 6 years after they're in their home. I'm sure that there are people who talk to you about this, Chris. They say, you know, I'm a little hesitant to do this because I just moved into the house, but, you know, maybe in 4 or 5 years I might want to move out and get a bigger house, and I don't know that it's worth putting all this money into a solar system to this house. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say that it's worth it just for not being dependent on the utility, because we don't know where prices are going to go. Now, you are dependent on a property appraiser to properly appraise your solar system. And I will say this, that the value of a solar system has nothing to do with the cost of its parts. It has nothing to do with what you paid for it. The value of a solar system is the value of all those utility bills for the next 30 years that you won't have to pay. And unfortunately, right now, I think that appraisers are still, because there's such a comparatively small penetration of solar, and not that many solar homes have been sold, although that number is growing quite rapidly, that appraisers aren't properly equipped at this time to really value a solar system properly.
Well, I would think if the appraisers would look at utility bills in that home from when they had no solar and then now they do have solar and compare those with what a typical home in the area would be worth, I would imagine, heck, even as a buyer, I would think that home is worth more to me because I won't have a utility bill like I will if I was to buy the home next door that does not have the solar. What I'm getting at is this, Chris. I would bet that there's a value increase in what your property is worth if you have a great solar system that keeps your energy costs down to near zero.
Yeah, if my house is for sale and the one across the street's for sale and I have no electric bill for the next 20 years and they have an electric bill for 20, I would think my house would be worth
it. Oh, I would rather buy your house than that other house, right? Of course. And I would imagine that people that have solar systems in their home, they're the kind of people that take good care of their home. They're the kind of people that maybe do really good insulation on their home, and maybe they do a lot of things to take care of them. So I would think that when I see a home that has solar or something that took the time and effort and care to put solar into that home, they probably did a lot of other things to make that home tighter as well.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, probably have a good value there. I think it's a great idea, and with the warmer weather, now's the time to get in contact with Chris O'Sullivan. If somebody wants to talk to you about solar for their home or their business, Chris, what is the best way?
My direct line is 775-232-2767. Or you can go to my website, which is www, of course, thesolarog.com.
Thesolarog.com. What does that OG stand for?
Huh? Well, it stands for off-grid, of course.
Off-grid, of course. TheSolarOG.com. We're going to put all that information on our website, NevadaRealEstateRadio.com. Make it easy for people to find you. We'll take a look at the market stats from the Sierra Nevada Realtors after this quick message.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
And we're back on Nevada Real Estate Radio. Let's take a look at the stats from the Sierra Nevada Realtors from the March 2024 sales report. So here are the March market highlights. The median home price across the six counties, which are covered by the report, Washoe, Story, Lyon, Douglas, and Churchill counties, along with Carson City, was $530,000. That's a decrease of just 0.1% from the previous month. Now, Story County saw the largest increase in closed sales, with five single-family homes sold in March, a 66.7% increase from the previous month. Meanwhile, Carson City saw the largest decrease in closed sales, with only 45 single-family homes sold in March, which is equivalent to a decrease of 11.8% from the previous month. Now, the median price of a condominium or a townhome across these six counties from March increased by 3% from last month. Imagine, a condominium, $340,000 is the median price when you look at it all across those counties. Now, Robert Barchi had some comments on the last report, and he said, "We're seeing an increase in homes sold in the rural counties with the most activity currently in Churchill, Lyon, and Story counties." Now, the numbers show that buyers are willing to live in these areas in order to enter the market as interest rates continue to remain high. During this time, it's important to connect with an agent to make sure you are represented in the buying process, says Robert. Now, what's really good to know is this. We've been talking about how the rural markets really present a better value many times than the urban markets of Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. And now it's being seen and discussed in the monthly report. My favorite communities, Fernley, Fallon, Yerington, Dayton, Minden, Gardnerville, those are very cool, cool areas. Some of them might be just a little higher than our area in Reno-Sparks, Carson, but a lot of them are substantially lower. And sellers learn what programs might be right for them when it comes to buying and financing. So there's a lot of information provided from the Sierra Nevada Realtors. Let's take a look at some of the individual counties. When we look at Washoe County, which Reno-Sparks, in March of 2024, Washoe County had 428 new listings and 332 closed sales. The median sales price for an existing single-family home, if you look at the county average, was $575,000. That's an increase of 4.6% from the previous month and a big increase from last year, 8.9%. The median sales price for an existing condo or townhome in Washoe County for 2024 of March, $350,000. That's up over 11% from 1 year ago. Carson City's doing strong too. In March of 2024, Carson had 45 sales of existing single-family homes. That's an 11.8% decrease from the previous month, but an increase of 12.5% from last year. Remember last year, that winter, all that snow that stayed on the ground for so long? How can we forget? The median sales price for an existing family residence in the Carson City area, $585,000, an increase of 8.3% from the previous month and up a substantial, whopping 30% in 1 year. The existing condo townhome median sales price in March of 2024 for Carson City, $270,400. That's a little bit of a decrease from last year, 21%. It's amazing when you look at the small markets like we have in Northern Nevada, just a few sales can make a big difference in the activity. And when you look at it on a percentage basis from 1 year, from 1 month to the next, when you look at Carson City with just 45 sales of existing single family homes, well, you wonder if a couple more homes had sold for a lot less money, or if maybe just a few less homes had sold, period, that number could be substantially different. So you really have to take these numbers with a grain of salt when you're looking at markets and areas with very small number of activity in sales. Now, Lyon County, almost the same in a certain way, because in March of 2024, they had 106 sales of existing single-family homes and manufactured properties. You see, in Lyon County, there are so many manufactured homes in the whole county that the Sierra Nevada Realtors average in the sale of those manufactured homes, unlike the other counties. You don't see that in Washoe. You don't see that in Carson. This is including manufactured and single-family residences in Lyon County. They had 106 sales of manufactured and single-family homes. That's an increase of over 30% from the previous month, but a slight decrease, 8.6%, from 1 year ago. The median sales price for these existing single-family homes or manufactured homes is $391,050. That's an increase of 3.7% from the prior month and an increase of 7.2% from last year. Have you ever been out to Fallon? You know, the Cantaloupe Festival, Sand Mountain, all those dairies? Churchill County, what a beautiful place. In March of 2024, Churchill County had 25 sales of existing single-family homes. That's an increase of 56.3% from the previous month, but a decrease of 19.1% from last year. Can you believe it? Those are big numbers. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about only 25 sales. If there would have only been 20 sales, well, that increase from the previous month would have been substantially lower. And if there would have been 30 sales, well, can you imagine that that 19% decrease from last year would probably have been close to flat? So keep that in mind. Very small number of sales in Churchill County. However, their median sales price for an existing single-family residence was a good price, $365,000. And I say good price because I compare that price to the metro areas of Reno, Sparks, and Carson. You're talking about a difference like maybe $200,000 for a one-hour drive from Reno and Sparks. The median sales price is an increase of 11.6% from the previous month and down just 19.4% from last year. That's a joke. It's not just 19%. That's a big number. 19% down from last year. That means that last year they might have had as many as 30 sales instead of 25. So, Churchill County, a great place to live, a great place to visit, and I encourage you to check out Churchill County. I almost said Fernley because Fernley is on the way to Churchill County, and when you get there, you'll see the great city of Fallon. Love Fallon. In fact, Fallon is the only city in Churchill County. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's look at Story County. They had 5 sales of existing single-family homes. That's up 66.7% from the previous month, but up a whopping 150% from last year. 5 sales are driving these numbers and these percentages, ladies and gentlemen, so you have to take those percentage numbers with a grain of salt. The median sales price in Story County, $550,000. That's an increase of 13.4% from the previous month and a decrease of 13.4% from last year. Imagine, Story County, it could be the right place for you, but you have to ask yourself, where is Story County? Well, you know, the Tesla area, USA Parkway, that's Story County. But believe it or not, Virginia City, also Story County. You want to live in Virginia City Highlands? You're not in Reno. You're in Story County. Check it out. You will see that Story County offers a lot of diversity, but very few opportunities to buy. Remember, they only had 5 sales in the last month, and that's up 150% from last year. So if you're interested in living in those areas, you know, Virginia City Highlands, Virginia City, Tesla, USA Parkway area, you really have to be working with a licensed real estate professional because there's so few sales that take place in that area. Let's look at our last area of the report, Douglas County. In March of 2024, Douglas County had 45 sales of existing single-family homes. That's an increase of 9.8% from the previous month and an increase of 45% from last year. The median sales price for an existing single-family residence in Douglas County, $590,000. That's a decrease of 20.8%, but from the previous month, it's an increase of 18.3% from a year ago. And you ask yourself again, Douglas County, what kind of properties, what kind of cities are we looking there? Minden, Gardnerville, that's what we're talking about with Douglas County. A good part of South Lake Tahoe is in the Douglas County area, and you might look at Genoa, Douglas County. Beautiful places to visit, great places to consider purchasing real estate. But you have to really do your research. You have to get pre-approved for a mortgage if you're going to get a loan to purchase these properties. And you have to make sure that all of the other key elements of getting a mortgage to purchase a property are in line. The 3 C's that I learned about when I was a mortgage lender: cash, credit, and capacity. Cash is obviously the money that you have available for down payment, closing costs, any related expenses to purchasing a home. Credit, well, credit is not so much getting credit, but it's your credit score. Because your credit score is going to tell you and your lending institution if you're eligible to get a mortgage and for what amount. And it's also going to tell you at what interest rate you are going to get your mortgage, because your credit score drives your interest rate. So that's the first 2 C's. And then the last one is capacity. And capacity, it really should be an I. It means income. Or what source of money do you have that comes into your account on a regular basis? You know, some people say, well, I have no income, Peter, but I get a retirement check every month from my pension. Or I also have my Social Security that comes in. Or I have this other annuity that pays me off. I don't work. I have no income, but I've got all this money. So that's why it's not labeled as income. It's labeled as capacity. So when you add all those things together of the different sources of revenue that come into your household, from a part-time job, a full-time job, retirement accounts, annuities, etc. That's your capacity. So the bank is going to compare your capacity to your credit and to your income, and then your mortgage lender is going to tell you how much of a mortgage you qualify for, and that's going to tell you how much of a home you can afford to buy. It sounds easy, but it's not. You need to get started now. Even if you think you're not ready to buy a home, but you want to buy one in a year or two or even three, call a licensed mortgage professional. Talk to them about your ambitions and your interest in becoming a home owner. And even if you already own a home and you want to expand, maybe get a second home or investment property, do the same thing. Give them a call at your favorite lending institution. And if you have any questions for me or need some help, we're always happy to help you here at Nevada Real Estate Radio. There's no charge. We love talking with our listeners. Give us a call anytime after the show. 775-786-5515. Or visit sageintl.com. I'll be back with John McDonald and Chris O'Sullivan after this quick message.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
My guest today is Chris O'Sullivan, and he is with Palmetto Solar. Also with us in the studio, Sean McDonald, hard money lender at Socotra Capital. Well, we've been talking about solar energy and financing for real estate investment properties. However, we haven't talked about multifamily or commercial for the solar industry, solar panels. So, Chris O'Sullivan, tell us, what is it like if somebody has, let's say, a multifamily, a 12-unit apartment building or a complex? Is that something that could work now?
So in this current climate of solar, that's not something that is currently possible. The way NV Energy assigns solar systems is per electric meter, and that's how they assign those systems and permit them and give them permission to operate. So if we have multiple meters on a building, then that's not going to be something where we can do solar. That includes any strip malls, multi-tenant buildings of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
That would fall into something called community solar, and that is on the table. I think Nevada is considering it. They're a little bit behind. But this is nationwide. This is something that's being looked at as a solution for renewable energy as well.
Mm-hmm. Sean McDonald from Socotra Capital is with us in the studio today. We've been talking about hard money lending from Sean for businesses that want to expand, or maybe somebody wants to buy two investment properties instead of just one. Sean, sometimes a lot of people in the business world, they need cash, now maybe not to buy other buildings or to expand locations, but to upgrade or renovate. And if they're renovating, well, first of all, is that something that Socotra Capital could help with when it comes to hard money?
Absolutely, yeah. Both residential and commercial, we can help with upgrading a residential property as long as it's for investment purpose, so fix and flips, things like that. And then on the commercial side, we can help with tenant improvements, whether they be for an owner, user, or tenants. Mm-hmm. And solar would certainly fall into that category if it's an owner user that can lower their monthly output via solar, it would make a ton of sense to borrow our money for those capital improvements.
Wow, that's a great idea. So even if somebody had a rental house, let's say, that they have for investment purposes, they rent it out on a regular basis, and if they wanted to upgrade that house, one way could be to add solar. And with the right kind of financing and a quick turnaround, solar might just be something that could save somebody some money and maybe help them get more for the property when they sell it. Or heck, if you could rent a property and you knew that it had such low solar energy costs, could probably get a little bit more money for the rent on that home instead of sending the money to pay for energy.
Yeah, I would think you could advertise it with utilities included, and the tenants don't know your bill's nothing.
Yeah, that does sound like a good way. And everybody wants to live in the green world, don't they, Chris? Everybody wants to. It's got to be a really good feeling for people when they know that they're using energy from the sun instead of fossil fuels or any other.
I think that it is. You know, I didn't come into this industry as a big greenie and, you know, hugging trees and whatnot, but I was a Boy Scout, and so we always learned to leave your campsite cleaner than when you found it. And if mm-hmm. I can leave this planet a little cleaner than when I found it, I think that's admirable.
Yeah. So the solar panels that you get, all the parts and equipment, is there a particular area of the country that those parts come from? Do you source them on an individual basis? How does that work?
Well, so the solar panel, you know that I'm sure most people realize that China is the number one producer of solar panels. We do not source our solar panels from China. So the ones that we use are Q cells by a company called Hanwha, which is based in South Korea. But the solar panels are made just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. A little town called Dayton, Georgia. Not Dayton, Nevada, but Dayton, Georgia. And so, you know, we try and keep Americans at work. And also that keeps the supply lines flowing because we don't have to worry about customs and embargoes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. The geographical area of northern Nevada, quite diverse. How far of a range around Reno, Nevada does Palmetto service?
So we can go out to Fallon, Fernley. We go down to Gardnerville, up to North Valleys. I actually have done a couple of projects down in Dayton myself and Carson. So a pretty good footprint.
It is a good footprint. That's pretty close to what Sean McDonald has at Socotra Capital. Sean, I know you've been listening attentively to our discussion about solar and how it can really save people a lot of money. Do you have any questions or input on the solar world? Have you ever had any exposure to working with some business or a home that has solar in that home?
I have friends who have installed solar, and they all love it. I don't have much on the Socotra side. I'm trying to think if I've ever done any. I'm certain some of our funds have been used for solar improvements over the years. I don't know if you want to touch on it or not, but we lend on cannabis properties, so that's obviously a energy sucker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet that's a high energy demand.
Agri-solar.
Yeah. So you do some solar on those kinds of projects.
I know of a couple that we've lent on that do have solar, and I wouldn't be surprised if some that we've given cash out for business purpose have used it for solar.
Well, you touched on a good subject there, and I don't mind talking about it, the cannabis industry. I know they've had challenges with financing, you know, getting banks to help them open accounts. And I was reading in one of the articles today in the journal about a company that had to ship $400,000 across the state line because they couldn't find a bank to take it. And, you know, an industry like that has special needs. Would hard money lending apply to the cannabis industry? You guys do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Hard money's kind of the only outlet. There's a few credit unions that'll do it here and there, kind of turn a blind eye to what's really happening. But what we do is we lend to the property owner. So we don't lend to the cannabis operator. We lend to the owner that is leasing to the cannabis operator. So there is a little veil of separation there, but we do a lot of that, and that's one of our favorite things to lend on, honestly, because they do a great business.
A lot of government involvement, government minutia, it seems like it's more business prevention than helping business. What with all the regulations and the different licensing that you need, the overlap from county to government to state to borough, whatever it is, it's nice when things can work together without having to go through all that soup. And I've always been concerned that the solar industry has been like that because, Chris, the government's involved in the solar industry, it sounds like to me. And so are there major roadblocks that a potential buyer has to go through? Are there requirements, income requirements? Are there business-type requirements? What are the main hurdles if somebody wants to get started?
Yeah, the government has been very friendly towards the solar industry. Currently, there is a 30% tax credit for investments in renewable energy. People use that on their home or their business. That tax credit comes in very handy. As far as other obstructions or things like that, we just don't really see it. You know, I had mentioned that community solar, but that's more of a logistical issue on how to roll that out. It's not really an obstruction. HOAs are never an issue. Jurisdictions are usually very easy to work with. And as long as we're, you know, filing the right permits and everything, there's very little that gets in our way in doing solar.
Mm-hmm. What about manufactured homes? People put solar on manufactured homes with
there are
success?
More stringent requirements with manufactured homes, which I won't get into great detail here, but suffice to say that if the meter is on the house and it has a permanent foundation, we have a pretty good chance of getting that done. If there's a meter on a pole somewhere off the property and you're just up on cinder blocks, and that type of manufactured home is going to have a little bit of problem getting through the permitting process.
We talked earlier about how in a lot of situations there is a solar panel, and if the sun's out, it's getting energy to your home. If the sun goes down, then you can go back on the grid, and it's pretty well seamless. But the time comes for people that, again, want to be more self-reliant. When the sun goes down and they don't want to go on the grid, is there a battery pack that can hook up to these solar units that you're talking about and use that even when the sun is out and not have to go on the grid?
Yes. I mean, the Tesla Powerwall has been a game changer, albeit very expensive. I feel the battery prices will be coming down over the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so for most of my homeowners that are going solar, I do not recommend batteries at this time because of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a battery costs between $12,000 and $15,000 for a battery and has a lifespan of about 10 years, I don't know how many blackouts we're going to have over the next 10 years to where, you know, $15,000, that's a lot of flashlight batteries and candles, you know what I mean?
That's a lot, yeah. It really is. Well, it makes sense, and I guess only when you get a walk through your home, a review from a professional at Palmetto Solar, I guess that's when you know really what the best way to go. But I think it's a great idea, especially in today's economic times, to look at other options for investing your money. Why invest it in the local energy company, right? Put it in other places, and maybe Palmetto is the answer. If anybody wants to reach Chris O'Sullivan at Palmetto, what is the best way again, Chris?
Direct line is 775-232-2767.
Very good. Sean McDonald has been with us today, too, hard money lender at Socotra Capital. Sean, are there any kinds of businesses that rather didn't talk about that could use hard money lending as a source of capital that we haven't focused on yet?
Oh, I mean, everybody can, right? Everybody needs money. So
exactly.
Anyone who owns property or any business that owns a property that needs capital, we can help.
Sean McDonald is the person to contact at Socotra Capital. Sean will put all of your contact information on our website, too, and make it easy for people to find you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in also today. We're on the air again next week, same time, same station. Tell your friends and family to tune in, and then they'll make a great deal when it comes time to buy or sell real estate or convert to solar. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to Nevada Real Estate Radio with Peter Padilla. We value your listenership. Want to talk with Peter? Send an email to peter@nevadarealestateradio.com.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
Next time on the Sherry Hill Show, I have Phil McDougall, the president of the National Automobile Museum, which is really top three in the nation for automobile museums. We're going to talk about all the cool things going on, because guess what? It changes every single month. And if you haven't been there since your prom, you need to get to the National Automobile Museum, and you're going to find out why. The Sherry Hill Show, Mondays, 11:30 a.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 93.7 FM. The Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.